Elhamdülillahi rabbil alemin ve salatu ve selamu ala khatamin nebiyyin amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi mineşşeytanirracim bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Four evils. Supplication of Attar. O Allah, whoever reads or listens to the booklet Four Evils, protect them from all evils and fatal diseases, and grant immense forgiveness to them, their parents, and their entire family. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The excellence of salat upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A pious person was travelling through a forest when night fell. Formidable beasts were roaming everywhere. He felt afraid, but suddenly remembered this blessed hadith. Whoever recites salat upon me once, Allah sends 10 mercies upon him. He recited salat upon the Prophet and slept in a spot. He spent the entire night in peace, and not a single beast even touched him. Then, regarding this same hadith, he said, I recited salat because 10 mercies of Allah descend upon the one who recites it once. And when 10 mercies of Allah surround me, what beast would dare to even look towards me? Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Dear Islamic brothers, this all depends on the firmness of faith. You observe the firmness of faith of that pious person, rahmatullahi alayh. Whereas, our state is such that though we are, alhamdulillah, believers, our focus remains more towards outward means. May Allah Almighty make our faith firm as well. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Four birds and the power of Allah Almighty. Khalilullah, Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, saw a corpse on the seashore. The situation was such that when the tide came in, fish would arrive and eat the corpse. When the tide receded, beasts would eat the corpse. And once the beasts left, birds would peck at it and eat it. Seeing this sight, Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam pleaded in the court of Allah, O Allah, indeed you are all powerful and I am certain you will resurrect the dead. But I have a curiosity that I wish to see this sight with my own eyes. How you will gather this human on the day of judgment, whose body parts have gone into the bellies of fish, some into the bellies of beasts, and some into the stomachs of birds. Allah Almighty commanded, O Ibrahim, raise four birds and make them very attached to you. When they become well attached, slaughter them. After slaughtering, keep their heads with you, mince their meat, and place a little bit of it on various surrounding mountains. Then call them, and we will show you the miracle of our power. By the command of Allah, Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam raised four birds, a peacock, a rooster, a pigeon, and a vulture. Once they were well attached, he slaughtered all four, kept their heads with him, and after mincing the meat, placed a little on different mountains. Thereafter, he alayhi salam called them to come to him by the command of Allah. As soon as he called, the minced meat of the four birds began to gather. Bones started joining each other, and in no time the four birds were ready. Then they all came running and joined their respective heads. When Sayyiduna Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam saw this soul-stirring sight, his heart attained peace and tranquility. Allah Almighty has described this entire subject in Part 3, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 260, in this manner. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قال أولم تؤمن قال بلى ولكن ليطمئن قلبي قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم.
And when Ibrahim said, O my Lord, show me how you will bring the dead back to life. Allah said, Do you not have certainty? Ibrahim said, Of course, but I wish for my heart to be content. Allah said, Take any four birds, then let them become accustomed to you. Then, after slaughter, place a piece from each of them on the mountains. Then call them. They will come to you with haste. And know that Allah is predominant, most wise. Dear Islamic brothers, did you see what a magnificent sight of His power Allah Almighty showed to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam? Indeed, the power of Allah is perfect. He can do whatever He wills and He has power over everything. Four evils in four birds. Each of the four birds that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam slaughtered possessed an evil trait. For example, the peacock is a very beautiful bird. Its feathers are very lovely and it is perhaps the most beautiful amongst birds. However, it possesses an evil trait. It is very arrogant about its beauty and elegance. To break its arrogance, Allah Almighty made its feet ugly. When it dances in excitement and considers itself very beautiful, as soon as its gaze falls upon its feet, all the intoxication of beauty vanishes and tears fall from its eyes. The vulture is a notorious bird. It eats corpses, and its evil trait is that it is filled with greed and avarice. The evil trait in the rooster is that it has excessive lust. The evil quality in the pigeon is that it is very proud of its high flight. When Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam slaughtered these four birds, his heart attained peace. Today, if a Muslim slaughters these four evil traits, meaning if someone possesses beauty and elegance and he grooms it and takes pride in it, he should end that arrogance of beauty. If someone has undue lust, he should gain control over it. If someone is a victim of greed and avarice and is enamored by the wealth of the world, he should remove the greed for the world from his heart. If someone has the desire for highness, meaning rank and status, in his heart, he should end it. Insha'Allah, his heart will also attain peace and it will be filled with light and gnosis. Unfortunately, these four traits have now become common. If someone possesses beauty and elegance, he does not even acknowledge the person in front of him, considers himself very beautiful, and walks with great arrogance. Beautiful accounts of the pious predecessors are found to guide such people. Come, let us listen to an advisory account in this regard. Advice to the arrogant walker. Sayyiduna Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi narrates, Sayyiduna Tawus rahmatullahi alayhi saw a person walking arrogantly and said, This gate does not belong to a person who knows what is inside his belly, i.e. his belly is filled with feces and filth. Dear Islamic brothers, if someone takes pride in his beauty and elegance, he should reflect upon his creation. It will become clear to him that his creation was from blood and a sperm drop. By reflecting in this manner, insha'Allah, his evil trait of arrogance will be eliminated. Nowadays, everyone is seen running after status and rank. If someone attains high rank or position, he begins to feel very arrogant. Such people should take a lesson from the end of those whose destruction was caused by their rank and position. The end of Pharaoh and Nimrud. When Pharaoh attained rank, he became arrogant and claimed divinity. He lived in luxury for 300 years, but finally his end was such that he died by drowning in the river Nile with great humiliation. Similarly, when Nimrud attained rank, he also claimed divinity. Ultimately, he was destroyed by means of a mosquito. A rank is only good if it is accompanied by love for Islam. Remember, a rank is only good if it is accompanied by love for Islam, and was the case with our beloved master Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and the noble companions radiyallahu anhum. They used it for the propagation of the religion of Islam and for the welfare of the people. Similarly, our pious predecessors and great saints, rahmahumullah, also held rank, and such a rank that even after departing from the world, they still gather millions of people on the occasion of their urs. Whereas, even a great political leader cannot gather such a crowd. Even today, thousands of people visit their resting places daily. And even now, alhamdulillah, their rule continues over the hearts of the people. Remember, according to worldly law nowadays, if someone attains a rank or position, it is only for 5 years. Whereas the rule of the saints continues even after hundreds of years and will continue to do so. If someone is obsessed with rank and the objective is only to gain the world or earn wealth, then this is certainly an evil trait of theirs. They should end this desire for high status so that they may attain inner peace. Yes, if someone indeed strives to attain a rank or position for the service of the religion of Islam, then they are worthy of praise. Dear Islamic brothers, in this current era of trials, it is also very necessary to control the evil trait of lust. Otherwise, it brings down even the greatest of people and turns kings into slaves. Many such accounts are found in history where people who were considered great pious men and saints were led by lust to such actions that their sainthood was stripped from them and they fell from lofty heights. Come, consider the cautionary tale of a person who ruined his world and the hereafter because of lust. The unfortunate worshipper. There was a worshipper amongst the Bani Israel whose supplications were not rejected. People would bring their sick to him. He would supplicate and they would recover. Once the king's daughter was left with him for treatment. He continued to treat her until Satan instilled evil in his heart. And that which should not have happened, happened. Out of fear, he killed the girl and buried her. Satan went to the king in human form, informed him of the event, and also told him about the grave. Consequently, the king had the ground dug up, and the body was recovered. Now, when this worshipper was about to be hanged as a punishment, Satan came to him and said, "I can save you from this, but the condition is that you prostrate to me." The worshipper prostrated to Satan, so Satan laughed loudly and said, "I have no connection with you." Then that unfortunate worshipper was hanged. Reflect. Due to not controlling lust, the unfortunate worshipper ruined his world and hereafter. Unfortunately, circumstances have worsened so much today that if someone is protected from sin in this era, it is perhaps because they did not get the opportunity to sin or they fear being disgraced. Otherwise, if given complete freedom, hardly anyone would stop themselves from sinning. In fact, given how functions involving dancing and singing are happening openly in streets nowadays, it seems as if there is a general license for sins. Those travelling in cars are swaying in excitement whilst listening to songs, and those riding scooters and cycles start moving their heads upon hearing the sound of songs. Such a delicate time has arrived that boys and girls dance together, and such programs of song and dance are organized that what happens in them is inappropriate to describe in words. May Allah Almighty have mercy on our miserable state. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Enamored by the love of the world. Dear Islamic brothers, the times are very delicate. For the sake of Allah Almighty, take hold of yourselves. Those who participate in congregations and listen to sunnah-inspired speeches should at least understand and be grateful that there are people present to guide them, who call out and explain, recite the Quran and Hadith, and tell them that the deviated path people are heading towards is not our way. Remember, our path is the path of Medina, and we must only follow those things which our beloved master Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has commanded us. Unfortunately, the vast majority of Muslims have become embroiled in sins, and it seems as if they love sins with their heart and soul. Which house is there where the beautiful principles of Islam have been adopted? Which house is there where every single child is a performer of salah and adherent to the sunnah? Which house is there in which all the women residing therein are veiled? Which house is there from which the sounds of music do not arise? It is known that the overwhelming majority of Muslims have embraced sins and are enamored by the love of the world. Perhaps people think they will live in this world forever, although it is not so. No one has remained in this world forever, nor will they. Sometimes death comes in such a strange manner that the onlooker is left as a statue of amazement. For example, a tragic death. A person was walking safely on the pavement of a bridge when a trailer passed near him. Its tire came off with a jolt and hit that person, causing the poor man to be flung off the bridge. This was not all. After hitting him, the tire bounced and hit him again down below the bridge where he had fallen. Thus the poor man's bones were shattered, and he passed away right there. Similarly, sometimes a perfectly healthy man suddenly falls victim to death. The sudden death of a referee. It is a very old matter that a news report was published in a newspaper stating that a football match was being played somewhere, and a gentleman was supervising the match as a referee. During the match, the referee suddenly suffered a heart attack. He fell down, and his heart failed at that very moment. Reflect. A referee is healthy and very alert because he has to make the decisions. But the poor man's corpse had to be carried away from the playing field. Dear Islamic brothers, instead of getting involved in various distractions in this short life, perform such deeds that will be of use in the hereafter. We should strive as much for the time we have to stay in the world as the duration we have to spend in the grave and the plane of resurrection. Since the day of judgment will be equal to 50,000 years, we must prepare well for it in the world. Look, if we have to go to a place that is near, we do not make any special preparation. Rather, we set off in the clothes we are wearing. But when we have to go somewhere far, we take two or three suits and some essential items along because preparation is made according to the journey. Therefore, we should prepare for the grave according to the duration we have to stay in it. And we should also prepare for the day of judgment according to its greatness. Those who do not prepare for the hereafter, whilst living in the world, and become lost in the negligence and love of the world, their end is very bad. Four afflictions. The beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam states, whoever wakes up in a state where his greatest objective is the world, he is afflicted with four such calamities from which he is never free. Number one, such grief that never ends. Number two, such preoccupation from which there is no leisure. Number three, such poverty after which there is no prosperity. And number four, such hope that is never fulfilled. Dear Islamic brothers, who wakes up for Fajr prayer nowadays? Where do the majority of Muslims even perform prayer? Only 4 or 5% of Muslims might be performing Salah. If the majority performed it, masjids would fall short. When we wake up in the morning, our thought is that the shop must be opened at 8 or 9 o'clock. There might only be someone in caves or mountains who does not love the world. Otherwise, a huge number of people today are lost in the love of the world. Remember, avoiding love of the world does not mean that a person should stop earning a lawful livelihood and go around begging. Love of the world means thinking about earning the world and increasing wealth all the time, and constantly saying, world, world. Similarly, earning a lawful livelihood as per necessity, whilst remaining within the limits of Sharia to serve parents and children, is also not included in the love of the world. Unfortunately, the love of the world has dominated us so much that we even ask for supplications for the betterment of the world. For instance, many people ask to pray for blessings in their livelihood, but no one asks to pray for blessings in pious deeds. Likewise, many people ask to pray that they find interest in their worldly studies, but only a rare few ask to pray that they find interest in Salah. This is because the love of the world dominates us. Many poor souls are heard saying, our eyes open for Fajr, but we fall back asleep due to laziness. Such people should think that if they have to go on a picnic, they do not get sleep all night due to joy. Similarly, if they have to go on duty, their eyes open early in the morning and there is no kind of laziness. As the duty time of some company employees starts at 4 or 5 in the morning, so all employees wake up early. Likewise, if someone has a flight at 4 or 5 in the morning to go abroad, they reach the airport exactly on time because they have spent money, whereas no money has been spent for Salah, which is why their eyes do not open. The first affliction. Anyway, whoever wakes up in a state where his greatest objective is the world, such a person is afflicted with 4 calamities. The first of which is that he is afflicted with such grief for which there is no remedy. Just reflect. Who is happy today? Someone's father is ill, someone's mother, someone's child is ill, someone is unemployed, someone is destitute, someone is in debt. One person has one problem, another has a different one. In short, a large number of people are trapped in one grief or another. The second affliction. The second affliction placed upon the one who wakes up in a state where his greatest objective is the world is that he gets stuck in such a preoccupation from which there is no leisure. This is why generally the poor capitalists appear more busy. Usually, It has been observed that more poor people attend the Sunnah-inspired congregations of the religious movement of the devotees of the Prophet, Dawat-e-Islami, whereas the rich do not find time because they have to keep the shop open. If the shop is closed, they have to calculate the accounts and maintain contact with business contacts over the phone. If you wish to become wealthy, be like the third caliph of the Muslims, Sayyiduna Uthman radiallahu anhu. Despite being wealthy, he would remain in the service of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, perform religious work and help the Muslims immensely with his wealth during droughts. The generosity of Sayyiduna Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. During the era of the first caliph of the Muslims, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, a drought occurred due to which people became very distressed. Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "By this evening, Allah Almighty will remove your distress." Consequently, 1,000 camels of Sayyiduna Uthman radiallahu anhu arrived laden with grain. The traders of Medina Munawwara reached Sayyiduna Uthman radiallahu anhu to buy the grain. He asked them, "Tell me, how much profit will you give on the grain that has come to me from the Levant?" The trader said, 2 dirhams on 10 dirhams worth of grain. Sayyiduna Uthman radiallahu anhu said, "I am getting more than this." The trader said, "We will give 15 dirhams for the goods you bought for 10 dirhams. Sayyiduna Uthman radiallahu anhu said, "I am getting even more than this." The traders asked in amazement, "Who is it that is giving more?" He said, "I am getting 10 dirhams for 1 dirham's worth of goods. Can you give more than this?" The traders refused. Sayyiduna Uthman radiallahu anhu said, "I make you witnesses that I have given this grain in the way of Allah to the poor of Medina." Dear Islamic brothers, a wealthy person like Sayyiduna Uthman radiallahu anhu is hardly found. Otherwise, nowadays the thinking is that a lot of grain should be hidden in warehouses and sold at high prices when a drought occurs. Let the nation die tomorrow, or even today, but one safe must not be empty under any circumstances. Such preoccupation overtakes the one who loves the world that he finds no leisure. Even at the hour of death, he remains immersed in it. The third affliction. The third affliction placed upon the one who wakes up in a state where his greatest objective is the world is that he gets stuck in such destitution that he never becomes wealthy. You might think that there are many individuals in society who worry about earning money day and night, but despite this, they are not destitute but wealthy. So, remember, real wealth is not that someone has an abundance of money and riches. Rather, real wealth is that a person is wealthy by heart. Similarly, greatness is not that a person is big in terms of age, as we call the elderly pious elders, out of flattery. Although many poor elderly people neither know how to perform wuzu correctly nor how to perform salah. In this regard, Sayyiduna Shaykh Sadi Rahmatullahi Alayhi has said a very lovely thing. Bazurgi ba aqal ast na ba sal. Tawangari ba dil ast na ba mal. Meaning, greatness is from intellect and not in terms of age. Wealth is from the heart and not from money and riches. Destitute despite being wealthy. Dear Islamic brothers, a person who is not wealthy by heart is destitute. No matter how wealthy he appears outwardly, such a person has more greed for money. He keeps stacks of prize bonds to increase his wealth. He is not satisfied with doing business in his own country. So he turns to other countries and thus spreads his business throughout the world. Alas, due to worldly preoccupation, he is unable to take out time for religion. Remember, the one who does not have greed for worldly money and riches, and who sleeps peacefully after eating his dinner, is the greatest wealthy person. What wealth does that poor soul have, who finds no rest in the day or night? If he sleeps after being exhausted at night, he suddenly wakes up to the ringing of the phone. Some people are not wealthy outwardly, but are rich of heart. When they spend a little of their wealth in the way of Allah Almighty, according to their capacity, their little spent wealth surpasses a lot of wealth by the mercy of Allah Almighty. One dirham surpassed 100,000 dirhams. The final prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, stated, "One dirham surpassed 100,000 dirhams." The noble companions, radiyallahu anhum, were very amazed. How did one dirham surpass 100,000 dirhams? So he, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, stated, "One person had abundant wealth. He gave 100,000 dirhams in charity from his wealth. Another had only 2 dirhams. He gave one of them in the way of Allah." Dear Islamic brothers, one dirham surpassed 100,000 dirhams because that one dirham was half of that person's wealth. As if he donated half of his wealth in the way of Allah Almighty. In contrast, the one who donated 100,000 dirhams, it was only a portion of his abundant money and riches, not half. As if he donated even less than half of his wealth. Thus, one dirham surpassed 100,000 dirhams. There is also the famous incident of the second caliph of the Muslims, Sayyidina Umar al-Faruq radiyallahu anhu, when he presented half of his wealth in the court of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, whereas the first caliph, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, presented his entire wealth. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam asked, "O Umar, how much wealth have you brought here and how much have you left for your family?" He submitted, "O Messenger of Allah, I have brought half and left half for the family." Then the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam asked Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu the same question, and he submitted, "I have brought my entire wealth and have left my family in the care of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam." Half the wealth of Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu was much more than the entire wealth of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, but it was not his entire wealth. Whereas the wealth presented by Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu was less in comparison to half the wealth of Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu, but since it was the entire wealth of the house, he surpassed Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu. The person who never becomes wealthy. The person who is trapped in the love of money never becomes wealthy and is always stuck in the cycle of money. Just as the oil press ox has no destination, endlessly revolving in a circle, so too the person ensnared by the love of the world has no destination. That poor soul also just keeps trying to increase wealth until his death occurs. Attention has been drawn to this in the Noble Quran. Thus, in Juz 30, Surah Al-Takathur, verses 1 and 2, it is stated, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhaakumut Takathur, Hatta Zurtumul Maqabir. The desire of amassing wealth has made you heedless until you saw the graves. The fourth affliction. The fourth affliction placed upon the one who wakes up in a state where his greatest objective is the world is that he gets stuck in such hope that is never fulfilled. Dear Islamic brothers, many people would have heard this sentence many times that the world is sustained on hope. When someone is guided regarding preparation for the hereafter and reminded of death, the answer received is, the world is sustained on hope. Then, thinking this, the person becomes so preoccupied with earning the world that his hopes never end. One project is still incomplete while another is started. One shop cannot be managed, yet another is opened and an employee is kept there. And then, in this era, who earns for anyone else? Finally, one day a news report is published in the newspaper that the employee of such and such shop ran away with the goods. Anyway, worldly hopes are not yet fulfilled when death arrives and finishes the story. May it be that undue love for the world leaves our hearts, and the true love for Allah Almighty and His beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes firmly rooted in our hearts. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All those who remain trapped in the love of the world, all those who sell their conscience for the sake of the world, all those who consider the world to be everything, all those who remain intoxicated in the worry of increasing their bank balance all the time. It is a moment of reflection for you that it is stated in Surah Al-Humazah of the Holy Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَهُ يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَهُ كَلَّا لَيُنْبَذَنَّ فِي الْحُطَمَةِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحُطَمَةِ نَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُوقَدَةِ الَّتِي تَطْلَعُ طَلِعُوا عَلَى الْأَفْئِدَةِ إِنَّهَا عَلَيْهِمْ مُؤْصَدَةِ فِي عَمَدٍ مُمَدَّدَةِ. Woe to every slanderer, backbiter, who amassed wealth and counted it, thinking his wealth will make him immortal. Certainly not. He will most certainly be cast into that which crushes. And what do you know of that which crushes? The ignited fire of Allah, which will rise over the hearts. Indeed, it will be closed over them in towering columns. Dear Islamic brothers, take a lesson from these blessed verses of the noble Quran. Allah Almighty is warning talebearers, backbiters, and those who keep counting notes. Many people spend their lives as if they are never to die. Even a youth or an 80, 90-year-old elder sits before the TV watching films and dramas whilst forgetting their hereafter, shaving their beard, swearing and doing whatever they please, with only one obsession all the time, to acquire wealth from somewhere. Remember, the noble Quran is warning us to mend our ways now. Otherwise, there will be nothing but regret later. May it be that we spend our lives according to the enlightened principles of Islam and become mirrors of the Sunnah. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد.